alpha male garbage on me, sir. He never came back.
And Keith Lee hasn't shown his face in Austin, Texas since. Welcome to Loser Lee's Wrestling!
Yeah, that's the start of the show.
I really want the start of the show to be some sort of threat, open threat, or open intimidation to Keith Lee to see if he responds. Because we want Keith Lee to respond. We want to set up this match between you two.
Put me in a fight against Keith Lee.
I would honestly love nothing more. This is the news you can't lose with the Loser Lee's Wrestling crew. This is the news between January 17th, January 23rd. Mowat, how are you feeling today? You feeling good?
I'm feeling good. Highly caffeinated. Red, how are you?
I am highly caffeinated as well. I think we're ready for this.
This is going to be a good one.
I think so. A very light news week. Very light. Let's hit this running. Batista, our good friend Dave Batista. You remember him? You remember this guy?
Yeah. How's he doing?
Well, he's offering $20,000 to find out any information on who carved Trump into the manatee. Did you hear about that? The manatee Trump thing?
I saw the photo. I didn't want to look any further into it. Do you know more about it?
Well, no. Well, actually, I do know something about it. When I went to Busch Gardens when I was a child, we were supposed to go to Disney World, but they changed their mind at the last second. We went to Busch Gardens where they had manatees. And I remember the tour guide being like, oh, we used to let people go up and touch the manatees, but people kept carving their initials into them.
What? That's a thing.
That's when I was 10 years old. I remember them saying, like, yeah, we couldn't let people near them because they kept carving their initials into manatees. And then when this happened, we find out that one of the manatees has had Trump carved into it. I guess Batista had the same reaction that I did. Now he's offering $20,000 of his own money because he fucking hates the person that hurt this manatee.
Why is that? Do you know why that's like a common thing to do with manatees specifically?
I assume they feel pain.
They don't have like thick skin or something, right?
They do have thick skin. They have very thick skin.
But to the point, like, it still hurts them.
Yeah.
So why do people do it?
Same reason people tip over cows. Same reason people hassle cats. You know, just sick people that think it's funny in the moment or think it's cool in the moment. They just do it. I don't think there's anything about them that warrants like, oh, these are cool to etch our name into them. You know, it's just sick people.
Have you ever thought about tipping a cow?
You know, I thought it was a funny idea when I was a kid until I found out that they can't get back up.
That made me sad. Yeah,
like, if I tipped it and it just got back up, I'd be like, silly cow.
Like, yeah, because it's like, it's so docile. That's the thing is when he is taking advantage of docile creatures. It's funny when you're a teenager and then you think, then you realize they got feelings and you've become the docile one. Mm-hmm. Now I wouldn't enjoy it if someone tipped me over.
Well, I do tip cats.
You tip cats.
If there's a cat, I will go over, sweep their legs under the side and grab their belly.
Ah, God. Oh, yeah. There's you like fighting cats. I have a friend that likes fighting cats.
But it's a playful fighting, but they want to kill. I want to tickle. And that's how we go about it. So I end up getting real scratched up and they just end up getting a lot of love. So it's really not a fair trade off. But
do they enjoy it? Oh, I don't know.
Well, I think they do. They'll only come back to me. It's not like every cat likes to be petted. Every cat likes to be petted and loved. Every cat likes to be ignored, but all cats have an animal instinct to tussle. All of them want to tussle. They want to get razzed up a little bit sometimes. And that's what I'm there for, safe tussling. Like, I get them on their back, and I get into their fur and really scratch away at it, like, in a playful way. And then they rabbit kick me. I let them get their aggression out on me is essentially what I'm doing. I tire cats out. That's my game plan.
This is fantastic. I think this is a really good tagline for a movie called Cats. All cats like to cuddle. Some cats like to tussle.
Yeah, and that's where I come
from. It was funnier in my head when I thought about it, but whatever.
Moving on. We got to get out of here. That was Batista and the manatee. We got the cat tussling. All right, moving on. Ryback has some controversial comments recently. You heard about this guy, Ryback? Piece of shit? Well, he's fine, whatever. But he went on this whole Twitter rant about calling wrestling fake and that championships are props. And it shouldn't mean anything to win one and all this stuff. And then Mark Henry comes in and rips this guy apart saying like, you know, obviously we all worked hard to get here. And if you cared about this in any way, they just have this back and forth about this. Mowat, where do you stand?
Wait, so Or yeah.
No, explain no, it what, again. What's your question? What's your question?
Just explain it again. So Ryback said that championships don't matter.
He's calling championships props. Now, this is actually I've heard this before, you know, people calling championships props, and that it's not a championship. It's a prop that they give someone to elevate them or give them a different aura about them. It's a character building thing. And Mark Henry's just like, it's entertainment, but you know, you work hard to get to that. It's like an Oscar. So it's not just a prop. It's like it's an award given for exceptional work.
Well, and that's interesting, but it's also legitimate in that like whoever owns the top prize, like you want to see, like they should be carrying the company. I think that is still like a legitimate thing. At least on the indie circuits, like whoever gets the top belt is like, you know, guaranteed to come back to the next show. So they should get people to buy tickets, you know?
Yeah, I get that. So the point that Ryback's trying to make is that no matter how hard you work, your work cannot necessarily determine whether you get this championship. It's something that's given to you because of what someone else wants. Oh, so it's like kind of like, yeah, if I'm taking you, Moet, and I'm putting you into a new Batman movie, I'm like, you're going to be Batman. It's not necessarily because you worked all your life to be Batman. It's you're an actor and you were chosen to be in this role.
Oh, I didn't catch that. Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. Yeah, yeah. It doesn't necessarily mean if they have the belt, they're the best in the company. Mm-hmm. It just means that they still have incredible responsibilities, but it doesn't necessarily mean they're the best. A lot of the times, I think it does add up in a sense, but it's not really a competition.
Yeah. Ryback's just trying to, in all honesty, I understand what he's saying, but this is the rhetoric that comes from bitter wrestlers that didn't get everything they wanted.
Right. Yeah. So they get to feel like they're like Ryback is still one of the best.
Yeah. Ryback can say like, oh, well, I didn't win a championship because, you know, it's just a prop. It's whatever. It's stupid. It's bullshit. But whereas Mark Henry is like, yeah, because you didn't win one, bro. You know, like,
okay. So that is it's actually the same as my feelings on Oscars of like, it's just a prop. Who cares about
but
like, it's all for sure. I mean, I secretly deep down really, really want an Oscar. But who cares? It's just, it's a popularity contest.
It is. But I don't know. Quiet down, Ryback. Let's stop. Yeah. Come on. You got a podcast. It's not as good as this one. We understand. All right, moving on. We got Val Venus quits Twitter, officially quits Twitter. And it's because he's been harassed by Twitter, just like Donald J. Trump. Who's next, Moet? Donald J. Trump, then Val Venus, then who? Us? The Pope?
Ooh.
Who else, Moet? Who else is next?
It's not going to stop.
On Twitter's hit list.
You have an opinion, you're getting out. You're getting cut. Twitter's on to us. We got opinions.
Oh, yeah. Cut us. Get rid of us, Twitter. That doesn't really mean anything. I don't like... Val Venus has really gone down a dark, deep path.
I don't remember where, but I read an article recently connecting how QAnon is infiltrating a large list of pro wrestlers now, I want to say like there's like six wrestlers now in the indies and such that are spouting QAnon nonsense, and how that's just a weird it was just highlighting how it's a weird coincidence that like athletes now are getting into it. And how the heck do they do that? You know, like how AJ, this isn't QAnon, but like AJ Styles was like a flat earther and possibly still is. And like, how do they get into this stuff?
I'll leave AJ Styles alone. He's getting picked on a lot for the flat earth thing. He's just one of those guys that's just like, well, we don't know. You know, the moon could be hollow. We don't know. We're just taking the word for it. What is a circle? Like, that's his thing. He's very, even though for a guy who's never done hallucinogenics, he acts like a lot of people I know who do hallucinogenics. But sure. Like the QAnon thing, you know who's a proponent of that? Brian Cage.
Brian Cage, no.
Brian Cage shares tweets from some indie ref that is a QAnon guy.
Dumb Dumb. Big Dumb Dumb.
Big Dumb Dumb. He looks like a QAnon guy.
He looks like a dum-dum, too.
He looks like a pretty big dum-dum. You're damn right about that, Moe. Moving on. We got another one here. Hot off the presses. Jason Jordan. You remember this guy? Jason Jordan?
Oh, American Alpha. Yeah.
American Alpha. He's training for an in-ring return, Moe.
What happened to him?
He had a bad neck injury. He had a neck injury, and they were thinking that that was it. But looks like he might be making a comeback. And we've heard this from Chad Gable.
Yeah.
Apparently he's doing something on SmackDown called Alpha Academy, where he has this like a stable of people that just trains and works hard. And it was just him and Otis and someone else at first, but now it's got Daniel Bryan in there and they're all just training to be the best they could be for the Rumble, which I think is a cool idea to kind of have like a camp, you know, like how MMA has camps where you're like, oh, I'm gonna train for this big event and all these wrestlers train together. But they do the separate things. I kind of like that. And I like the idea that Chad Gable's running it.
Oh, I like that actually a lot. Yeah, as an isolated story, especially for the Rumble. I think it gives them a lot to deal with. And then they can, if they were, you know, I don't think they're going to show any of this. I'd be surprised. But it would be fun if, like, you know, they become a little stable that help each other out during the Rumble or something.
I would love that. I would honestly. Yeah. And I can't wait. I'm excited for the Rumble. Even though I haven't watched a WWE program in about a year. Since about maybe COVID, the start of COVID.
Really? You didn't watch the pay-per-views?
Yeah, I guess I mean regular TV.
Yeah.
I have no idea what's going on, essentially. Yeah. You know what I mean? But I'm curious about it, and I'm excited for it. But Jason Jordan is possibly going to come back, which would be great, because I really like Jason Jordan. And I think him and Chad Gable coming back together would be great.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, they were the best in NXT as American Alpha. It's still so... it's going to get on a WWE bashing time, but so it's not worth it. But like, it's so frustrating that they split them up. They split the Iconics up. They were two of the best tag teams for very different reasons, and they split both of them up.
Well, last thing Jason Jordan was doing, he was the son of Kurt Angle.
Yeah, ridiculous.
Big things from him. I don't understand. Big things.
Were they really? Because why would they do that? It's so baffling.
It's the idea of the rub. Like, you're pairing someone with someone all the time. You're hoping that their star factor will rub off on them. And just saying, even in gimmick storyline, like, oh, Jason Jordan, Kurt Angle's son. I can see him on a pay-per-view.
I do like that Kurt Angle is still pushing it. Like, every now and then when it comes My up, boy. He's like, yeah, and stuff like that. That's fun. Yeah.
It is good. And we got one more news article for the day, Moet. One more news article. Dark Side of the Ring is doing, we mentioned last week on the last episode, all the things Dark Side of the Ring is going to be doing, including, FMW. What else did I say?
Collision in Korea. We got Collision in Korea. Brian Pillman. Companies I don't know. Yeah, lots of good stuff.
Lots of good stuff. And there's another one, Chris Kanyon.
Yeah, I saw that. I thought you'd be excited about that.
I'm very excited. I'm a big Chris Kanyon fan, and I'm glad to see that they're giving him a little bit of a spotlight, because guy lived a tough life. Tough life in the ring.
What did he... What was the tragic thing that happened to him?
He's openly gay.
That's not tragic. But
no, but during the time in wrestling, he was picked on, he was hassled.
I thought he had AIDS or something.
Oh, no, he committed suicide.
Oh, okay. Darn. That's my response to that.
Well, shucks. Oh, darn. Oh, well, shucks. We can't wait for Dark Side of the Rings episode. Because they do a good job, Moet. I don't know if you knew this. They do a good job.
I love it. I can't wait. It really got me through March or April, whenever it aired. Like, season two aired right pretty much really early on into COVID. I was just needing something to look forward to. And that was like a perfect thing to be excited about on a weekly basis. Mm-hmm. It was great. Yeah, I can't wait for it to come back.
And I think that's all the news that I've got this week, Moet. But we're not done, listeners. We've got a mailbag, Moet. Moet in the mailbag.
Oh, boy. I've got it open.
Chock full of bags and mail. Let's see what we got.
You ready for this?
I'm born ready.
Number one. From Ronnie D. McConway from Saskatoon.
Oh, Ronnie D. McConway from Saskatoon.
Nice. Interesting. Ronnie would give us his middle name or their middle name.
Or maybe it's their first name. You know, some people have three, like two first names.
Dean, Ronnie. Whose middle name
is
Ronnie?
Like Bobby Lee or Cindy Mae or
sure, yeah. It's just like it just felt very aggressive. I feel like to
sure
in email format to give me the full name, but you know, whatever. Here we go. Ronnie Dean McConway asks, name a wrestler, past or present, that could beat Brock Lesnar in a shoot fight. Ooh, very fun.
Interesting.
Because I was just reading up on Brock Lesnar's UFC run again. Because it's what got me into UFC, watching Brock Lesnar in there. And he was insane. He was not like a skilled MMA fighter, but he had just so much athleticism. Mm-hmm. And his wrestling background just got him through everything. And that was the most exciting roller coaster.
It was.
You know, this guy has very little like jiu-jitsu experience or anything, really. He could just pound your face into mush.
And he's just so massive, like doing those things. Like, you have to do it to someone that's so strong, so fast, and so stout. You know, like every body part is so much thicker than anything, you know? It's hard to get in something that would be like a hold, you know?
And that I only knew him and this and Alistair Overeem were the only two guys I knew when I was first watching. And I thought every UFC fighter looked like that, or everybody in the heavyweight division looked like Brock Lesnar. I'm like, this is amazing. And it's like, oh, no, he's actually just like a freak athlete. And everyone looks relatively normal, you know, for that size and whatnot. But yeah, who could beat him up? Who could beat him in a shoot fight? Ken Shamrock? No, because you got to find someone his size.
Because Ken Shamrock, it was a heavyweight. He was a heavyweight. Yeah, I think he was. He was a heavyweight.
Mm-hmm. But the size difference is
But Brock would destroy him, I think.
Yeah, I think just overwhelm him, really. Yeah. Even though Ken Shamrock's, I think, more talented, more skilled. It just, it gets to a point where the size just can destroy people.
I say Big Show?
Probably not.
I don't think Big Show? Big Show could, let me put it to you this way. Big Show could easily lift a Brock Lesnar size person. Now, Brock Lesnar could lift a Brock Lesnar size person, but not as easily as Big Show. He's obviously stronger than Brock, right?
Yeah, but I don't think Big Show had, I think if he had MMA experience, if he knew how to fight, then that would, but I haven't seen him show that in anything. So that's where I'm stuck. If he knew how to do basics or whatever.
Okay, I'll side saddle Big Show. No Big Show, but
Keith Lee. I think if he knew how to fight,
But but in a shoot fight, we're saying if, like, who else is there? Is there anyone that we think could actually beat him?
Matt Riddle.
You think Matt Riddle? You think he's slippery enough?
I think I want to
actually
believe.
Honestly, he's talented enough. Where he just have to constantly run. He'd have to tire him out, you know, like kind of dance around him a lot and just get in his kicks when he can, kicks and punches without getting grabbed. Because the minute Matt Riddle gets grabbed, that's over.
That's the thing, yeah. And Lesnar is a bull. He's so fast. He just goes in a straight line, though, is the thing.
Like the juggernaut.
So if you got some movement, yeah. Yeah, he's the juggernaut.
He really is the juggernaut. So who's your final say?
Let's say Matt Riddle. I think he's athletic. He's strong. He knows how to fight. He was in the UFC.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Great question from Ronnie Dean McConway. Who's your answer?
I Big Show. I think Big Show. Big would Show. Big Very Show. Good. 1994. Right. Big Show. When he's like got like good shape, and he's that tall, like and that big, like he'd destroy anyone. I think honestly he could.
All right. Second up, Apino from Winnipeg. You're in grade school, math test. You don't know any of the answers. Who do you cheat from? And she has a list. She has a list of people who we could potentially cheat from. We got Shane Douglas,
the dean.
We got Matt Stryker.
Sure.
Lanny Poffo. Bobby Heenan or the Sandman. Oh, wild card. Sandman pushed in there. What the hell? Got all these, like, you know, Smarty Pants and the Sandman. What? Who's going to cheat?
Who's Sandman's your answer out of that?
Definitely not the Sandman. He's a dummy alcoholic. I'd say maybe Bobby Heenan. Bobby Heenan is
a dummy alcoholic.
It's kind of mean.
He's a piece of shit addict, Red.
Oh, yeah, he is an addict. That's, yeah.
You gonna say Bobby Heenan? You think Bobby Heenan's the smartest?
Yeah, I think so. I think I think they're all playing smarty pants, but Bobby Heenan is a smarty pants. So,
well,
yeah.
Funny thing about that, he dropped out of high school. I know he dropped out of high school when he was in 10th or 11th grade, Bobby Heenan. Sandman is in Mensa, and he's a genius. So
you're
I'm going to pick Sandman.
No, this is a freaking...
Him and Raven in ECW locker rooms would just talk Civil War history.
You and Apna put something up against me. You were discussing this with her. Somehow, this can't be common knowledge that the...
Yeah, it's common knowledge.
If the two of you just... You've been talking to her.
No, we're just...
This had to be a setup.
We're big ECW trivia heads, you know?
Oh, my God.
I guess
that's ridiculous.
Yeah, we're just not more stuff.
That was just... I just can't believe it. It seems like it's common knowledge of two people.
It's common knowledge, obviously.
That's
two people. Moa, you got a... You're not the
all
same
right.
Way
well, I feel very bad about immediately throwing Sandman under the bus like that. That's not fair to him.
Yeah,
and his Mensa degree.
I was gonna. I'm guessing she was gonna put Raven, but then decided to go with Sandman. That's my guess.
That you're guessing that she was going to put something else
because Raven would be the obvious link between Sandman and this group.
Why is that the obvious link?
Because
is
Raven
ECW?
Is the... you know Raven's a genius, right? You've heard that before.
No, but I didn't know, legitimately.
He's a legitimate genius. He's got, 160 IQ or something like that.
Oh, cool.
And then I'm sure she was like, oh, everyone knows that, but do they know that Sandman and him, used to talk...
You're making a lot of assumptions based off of...
I had a lot of coffee.
Choices.
I had a lot of
coffee. This is kind
of
weird. It's kind of freaking me out how much you're just assuming what she's going to do.
You're right. You're right. I shouldn't assume she's her own person. Where is she from?
Winnipeg. Winnipeg, you idiot.
Oh.
Hi,
how
moving
would I
on.
Know that? I've never met her before. You're the mailman. Shoot.
Sheila. Mm-hmm. Sheila is the last one. Sheila. From Hamilton, Ontario. We got two Canadian. What are the chances? We got a big Canadian base.
Also in Canada?
Oh, correct. Three. I just didn't connect the dots that all three somehow this week have been from Canada. Got
a
big Canadian
fan. We have
a
big Canadian fan base.
I think that's all three Canadian fans have
done. No, we got more than three. I'll tell you that much.
Oh, okay. All right. So this next one from Sheila says, what is your least favorite championship title in history? Do you think she means the design or the use or whatever, you know?
You know, I'm no mind reader, Moet. I guess it's up to our discretion.
Well, you seem to know a lot about Apna from Winnipeg. You seem to have a lot.
I had just some, I'm guessing. But this one's way over my head.
All right. So you can't read it.
I'm going to say, it's the actual title, not necessarily the design. The championship.
Okay, because the design would probably be the butterfly belt or the AEW women's belt is atrocious, in my opinion. But the actual title, they all have their. It seems like they all have their purposes here and there. What's a really absurd one? Has there been one?
I liked it when I was younger, but I hate it now. The European title.
I thought a European title. Yeah, that was actually my first thought. But I was like, yeah, it's. Inoffensive, I guess. It just, I don't know. I don't think, I guess because I saw the Intercontinental growing up meant so much. Like, I understood where a wrestler was if they had the Intercontinental belt, like on the rankings. But then the European title, I didn't really get anymore. Because it just seemed to be taking, a second place to the Intercontinental.
Yeah.
And then what's the point of even having it if you already got the Intercontinental belt, you know?
Sure.
Am I just not thinking through it? I don't know.
No, you're right. A close second, I think, is the 24/7 championship, which I really dislike.
The WWE version?
The current one. I like the hardcore championship that had the 24/7 rules, because that was a natural evolution. Like, it was a hardcore champion, and then Crash is like, well, I don't give a fuck because I'm a fucking monster killer. I'm the Houdini of hardcore. I'll take on all comers 24/7. And he made that rule just to kind of prove a point. But then it ended up biting him in the butt, and then he had to constantly do it. But now there's a championship that, like, I don't understand why people just don't leave the belt at home. They win it, then leave it at home. You could never change hands.
Did you see the, did you ever, like, notice the 24/7 championship that was in the Indies, the DDT 24/7? It had a different name, like, I can't remember.
No, I did not know it.
That one was very fun.
It was fun.
And I think they stole the idea from the DDT 24/7 because it would travel countries and places, you know, like it would start in Japan, but somehow someone won it and, you know, an American won it and end up in America. And it would just jump from indie to indie. And like, and it, they got really experimental with it. Like at one point, a ladder won the title and an invisible person won the title. And then, Joey Ryan won it, but then his wife, I think, won it in Joey Ryan's dreams. Like, there was like a shot, like, you know, Joey Ryan's a scumbag, but this idea was really fun, where he fell asleep, and then it just became a claymation story, where he was like, whoa, I'm in my dreams, or whatever, and then his wife is there, and then beats the shit out of him and wins, and at least I think that's how that happened, but I remember claymation. In, as a championship match, and yeah, I think that was just like harmless and very fun.
I love,
and I think that's what they were trying to do. Yeah.
But do you have any title off the top of your head? Which one are you going to say?
Oh. European title. That was stupid.
European title. Yeah. Okay, we're in agreement there.
Yeah, I kind of just agreed. The 24/7 was bad. Yeah. I'm not. I don't enjoy how they handled it. Yeah, except for R-Truth's run. R-Truth is always
great. R-Truth is great. I just want R-Truth to always have that title. But is there any more in the mailbag?
That's it. That is it.
Another solid 3 in the mailbag. We love all your listener emails, but you better send more. Please send more. LoserLeavesPod@gmail.com. LoserLeavesPod@gmail.com. Make sure to check out our YouTube page, Loser Leaves Wrestling, and give us a like and a follow and a subscribe. Also on Instagram, don't forget that. And thank you all so much for watching. My name is Red Jefferson.
Goodbye, everybody. This is Mowat Jaswal.
And Mowat, if news is breaking right now, the Pope says what?
The birds can talk now, and that's it.
Bye, everyone. Birds can talk now. Have a great night.